Our study this morning will be on the subject of spiritual and corporal blessings. Spiritual and corporal blessings. The character of a dispensation may be determined by its sphere. Where? On earth? In heaven? Far above all? The dispensation would be who? What? Far above all? The people involved? Jew, Gentile, be it a nation, a kingdom, or an ecclesia, a group of people, or the church of the one body in Christ. These dispensations are a period of time when God dispenses His word for that particular phase or that particular time, a period of time. Also, it is these different dispensations are distinguished by the blessings that belong to it. Are they a spiritual blessing or are they a corporal blessing? The spiritual blessing, the spiritual word and the blessing is derived from the idea of soul or breath of life. On the other hand, the corporal blessing comes from the word corpus or corpse, a physical or a body type of blessing, which is the antithesis of spiritual, actually opposite. Example of a corporal blessing, if you will. Open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And here we'll find a supreme example of what we would describe as corporal blessing. We will begin with verse 1 of chapter 28. The Lord speaking, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Speaking, of course, here to the Jewish people. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. That's the only contingent, if they hearken to God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. There's protection, safety. Verse 7, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which is the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. How'd you like to start a business under those conditions? Just listen to the voice of the Lord, and what a marvelous existence you would have. Those are truly what we would describe as corporal blessings. And there's not the slightest hint that a Christian businessman or farmer can claim these blessings today. You cannot, therefore, gauge the spiritual stature of a Christian farmer or a businessman by his successes. In fact, the reverse might well be true, depending on the amount of rain that one farmer gets and another farmer 3 miles away gets no rain, while his pagan neighbor down the road gets all that he needs. The blessings connected to Israel as a nation were corporal, physical in nature, and they no doubt included some spiritual blessings as well. Paul in Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians both, devotes time and considerable effort in what he described as collection for the need of the Gentile saints that were poor at Jerusalem. He was charged with this endeavor. We find it there in Romans chapter 15, if you'll take a quick look at Romans chapter 15. Beginning with verse 26, Romans 15, verse 26. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things or in corporal blessings. Because they were now a part of the olive tree that would thrive, these carnal things, these physical corporal blessings, included food and drink and money and clothing and necessities of life, capital, et cetera, for business and so forth. However, the dispensation in which we live is completely opposite. Like Paul, we may know what it means to suffer, unfortunately. In fact, Paul is the prime example of what we are here to face in our lives today. We find that there in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Beginning with verse 15. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And you can, of course, read all about that if you later want to go to 2 Corinthians in the 11th chapter. We find there that Paul, in fact, indeed, suffered greatly in his life and ministry for the cause of Christ. He was scorned, hunted down, he was hated, he was starved all the time, cold, stoned, left for dead, betrayed 5 times, he was given 40 stripes, less one. By the way, it was always the 40th stripe that was considered to kill. They could take 39, but it was usually the 40th that killed him. So he had 5 times given 40 stripes. The boat of death was now against him. He was in prison by sea and land and cities, in the desert. He suffered. He was, it seemed, always at the hand of a mob. And it was not just physical hardship, but the indignation of affliction as well. He had this thorn in the flesh that we don't know what it was. I've studied it from every possible angle. I don't know what it is. But whatever it was a malady. It gave him a painful self-consciousness, which is in itself a trial for any man that's before the public, as he was. It seemed at times to break his spirit at the height of his strongest moments. Even a casual reading of his epistles reveals that he was aware of this aspect of his personality. It distressed him with an agony of humiliation. We hear a sort of a wailing and a pleading, appealing tone in his personal addresses at that time. He no doubt was suffering, and suffering in a way that is described here in the verses that we just read there in 1 Timothy. He constantly refers to this. He tells the Corinthians that his communication with them was plagued with physical weakness, fear, and much trembling. He reminds the Galatians that he preached to them in severe sickness. He speaks to the Philippians of those who add affliction to his bonds. There's hardly a letter in which he does not allude to his mental trials, physical suffering, persecution, and infirmities. He describes it as being he died daily. He was often death. He was being killed all day long. That the Lord would not remove. He, Paul, did not have these corporal, capital blessings that were promised to the nation of Israel if they adhered to their God. The dispensation in which we live is completely opposite to what Abraham was promised. Like Paul, we may know what it means to suffer, unfortunately. We have no guarantee of a settled dwelling. If you don't believe that, ask the Christians in Turkey today, which I referred to last week. Turkey is 95% Muslim. The Christians there who are in the area where the 7 churches are that are spoken of in the book of Revelation suffer. We have no promise of special protection during the period of danger. We see that in our own city in 9/11, our own country in 9/11, when people are jumping out of the Trade Tower windows with no protection. We have no protection from impoverishment. Do you know that the world, the average income per capita in the world is less than $200? Can you imagine that? The per capita income in the world is less than $200 a week, month, no, a year. We have no shield from diseases. Good example here is what we've just looked at here in the last year and a half is COVID-19. We have no provisions for daily bread. People are starving around the world in areas like Rwanda. Christians who do not have the promise, the corporal blessings that were given to the nation of Israel through Abraham. The individual believer, like the rest of the world, must find his means today, like the rest of the world. A Christian, a member of the one body in Christ, may be rich, he may be poor, he may be sick or well, troubled or tranquil. When it comes to corporal blessings. So, that's a pretty sad picture I'm painting here, I understand. So, on a better note, what do we have? Well, look, if you will, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. It's a mouthful. I almost hate to comment on it for fear I'll mess it up. Believers are today who are a member of the ecclesia or the body of Christ are adopted sons of the Most High. You know what adoption is? Just in our being, our living, our world, adoption by the Son of the Most High. And it is not corporal blessings, but spiritual blessings. This is what the Father has willed us. What do we inherit? All, and I emphasize all, spiritual blessings, or every blessing that is spiritual. not some, but all. I don't know how many they are. You know, if there's two, then we got two. If there's 10,000, we got 10,000. We will one day know, I think, more what they are. Where is this inheritance that we have enjoyed? Well, it's in heavenly places. It's not a kingdom, an earthly kingdom, like what was promised there with Abraham in the corporal blessings. When was this will made? Before the foundations or the overthrow of the world, the Kadabole, unlike the nation of Israel, which was set up since the foundations of the world. Who will inherit this? Those who receive the adoption. It's those who become a part of the church of the one body in Christ. Why did the Father do this? Well, why did he do it for Abraham with corporal blessings? He did it because of love. The good pleasure of his will is described there. Ephesians 1:3 stands alone in all of Scripture. The word blessing, for example, is never used again by the Apostle Paul. It says it all in that first verse where Paul was given this new revelation about a heavenly calling. Peculiar to that also is that Abraham is never mentioned again in the prison epistles where Paul is given this new revelation about a heavenly calling. Abraham's back. These blessings are not associated with earth, they're associated with heaven and with heavenly things that Paul's talking about. Here, no request is made here for any corporal things. No protection, no safety. No confession is required. No vows of reform are found. No statement of failure. But all are acknowledged, whatever they may be. We probably will not know or understand all that is given to us until the dawn of eternity. Notice the word in verse 3, in the opening words there that we read. It's not, may I be blessed. It's not, give me, give me, give me, give me. Not may I be blessed, but may he be blessed. The give me, the give me, the give me, the give me that is found in the prayers of the world today is of the satanic system. It doesn't work. With this background, I want to look at one aspect of answered prayer, or maybe two, a couple of examples. Turn, if you will, to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6, page 497 in the Companion Bible. 2 Kings. Chapter 6. There's much to be learned out of a lot of these Old Testament books. It just takes an awful lot of time to read them. 2 Kings chapter 6. Page 497. Beginning with verse 8, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned of him, and saved them himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy chamber, in thy bedchamber. Elijah was telling the king of Israel where the enemies were. And the king of Syria couldn't figure out, how in the hell is he getting this all the time? Verse 13, and he said, go and spy where he is, that's Elijah, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire round about. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the words of Elisha. Notice the prayer was not for protection from these Syrians that had come around about them. The prayer was for his eyes to be opened. Here is a great lesson for us today. We need to pray that our eyes be opened to what he has done for us, the church of the one body, in our adoption by him and for our part in the heavenly calling. Open our eyes that we might see. Another example of this is found in Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Here's a perfect example of infidelity. What happens when she sent Hagar into Abraham. Verse 11, and the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous unto thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman and all that Sarah hath said unto thee. Hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation." And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. If you read the rest of the chapter, you find out that Abraham had dug a well in Beersheba. That's a corporal blessing, water. But she had to have her eyes opened to see it. Most often today we have prayers that are for protection and provision, for health, for money, for fame, for success. You hear it all the time by those who do not understand. They're praying for people that have been shot, and they're not even Christians. They make this statement, "May God be with them." These types of prayers are for corporal things, physical things that belong to another dispensation, another time. Israel and the Gentiles of that time, of that dispensation, and not today. Today we should be praying, "Open my eyes, that I may behold, that I may see what is in store for me." The things that have been given to us in this dispensation are described there in Ephesians as spiritual blessing. Every blessing that is spiritual. Strength in the inner man to keep me on target. Christ dwelling in my heart to keep me on target. Comprehending his love. Being filled with his fullness of love. Knowledge, by the way, which has been given through this word. The grace and the knowledge of him. Understanding and discernment as a result of what's been given to us. Being filled with fruits. Peace. A peace that passes understanding in a world that is crooked and perverse. Quickened. Paul talks about being quickened. That means to be alive, to be happy, to be fruitful, to multiply, no matter what, knowing our future. Walking in light, which there again is the knowledge that comes through understanding of his word. Spiritual strength to keep me on the right path, to keep my mind right. not only spiritual strength, but superior understanding, etc., etc., etc. As a result of what? Being adopted by the Most High. Spiritual blessings, whatever and however many they are, we have all of them. And a big part of them are already available to us through this written word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love, for your adoption of us. We're grateful for the word that we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of what we have been given, spiritual blessings. Pray that each one here will continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of that wisdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.